doing just enough to clear their lines. For now, Metanier, three waiting for the cross. Molino! Minnesota have won it in the very last minute of stoppage time. They've turned this game right on its head.
Sporting KC find a way to lose last night in soccer, up 1-0 at the end of regulation. Then you have the old stoppage time, and usually teams don't score very much in stoppage time, but against Sporting KC, not a problem last night. 2-1, Minnesota United beat KC, so they'll stay in that Group D stage and see what they can do with their next match, but a tough loss to probably get over if you're a Sporting KC fan. Welcome to the Sports Ticket. Soccer is kind of back, if you want to call it that, MLS, but there are a lot of things that are not back when it comes to sports. We can tell you that Wichita State and K-State are going to renew a battle between the two schools, if you want to call it that. The teams, which last faced off in 2003, will first meet on Saturday, October 24th at Intrust Bank Arena in Wichita in a charity exhibition game to benefit organizations providing services for COVID-19 relief. And designated charities have been put out there by Greg Marshall, Wichita State, and Bruce Weber of K-State. The four-game regular season agreement calls off campus at Intrust Bank Arena in Wichita on December 5th of 2021, where Wichita State will be the designated home team at the newly renamed T-Mobile Center in Kansas City on December 22nd, 2023. So neutral sites, but one in Wichita, one there in Kansas City, with K-State serving as a home team in KC. Then the Wildcats will be at Bramlage in 2022. So go 2021 in Intrust Bank Arena. 2022 will be at K-State at Bramlage. 2023 will be in Kansas City. And then 2024 will be at Coke Arena in Wichita on December the 7th of 2024. And Bruce Weber, the head coach of the K-State Wildcats, talking about playing in Wichita and the renewal of the series between the Wildcats and the Shockers.
We want to get to Wichita and play. You know, we obviously, everyone wants home games, and that's not, it's tough to get all home games. We want to still have opportunity to get to Wichita with our fans in the Intrust. Obviously, I said earlier the Kansas City game has been great for us. We've had great attendance. Our fans are happy to have that opportunity. So I think it helps us do, one, we got the in-state rival with Wichita. Two, we're meeting some other needs on our schedule, to have the opportunity to play in Wichita, play in Kansas City, and still play an in-state rival. So it's I think it all made sense. And again, we can continue moving forward with that, in the future and see where it goes. I hope it's a positive thing, and I hope it's both schools want to continue it in the future.
Well, there you have it. K-State, Wichita State, two games in Wichita, two games, one in Manhattan and one in Kansas City. Some people surprised that K-State agreed to this, allowing Wichita State to, in essence, host two of the four, and K-State's only hosting one of the four.
Yeah, I feel like them moving to the American probably helped in these kind of things, moving to a better conference and kind of getting their name out there a little bit for Wichita State. I think they're a little bit on a higher pedestal than the Missouri Valley was, so that may have helped for Wichita State from that aspect.
But you're playing two games in Wichita.
Yeah.
Out of the four, you're only playing one in Manhattan.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're playing Duke. I mean, Kansas City is not like it is for KU. K-State. I mean, K-State is not as big in Kansas City as KU is. KU is a lot closer. So I'm okay with the series, but if I'm a K-State fan, I'm like, okay, how about one in Wichita, one in KC, and two in Manhattan? I mean, it's fine that they've worked it out, but I am very surprised that they agreed to a series where only one game is going to be on campus in their town, whereas Wichita have two of the four in town. And Intrust is a home court, obviously. I mean, but I can't say that T-Mobile Center is a home court for K-State.
No.
I mean, it is for KU.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit surprised by this, to be honest.
And, the ticket allotment Intrust will probably be balanced and even, but then the secondary market's going to go to the Shocker fans,
exactly,
most likely. So,
it's another
game. There are plenty of K-State fans down in Wichita, but I feel like the Shockers are probably going to
be... They'll eat those up.
Yeah, there'll be more Wichita State fans there. I don't think that... I don't know if Bruce Weber understood that or not, but because, I mean, they've had good attendance at their games at Wichita.
Yeah.
But they're not playing Wichita State.
Yeah, a little bit surprised that K-State agreed to that in those terms. A bit surprised. No surprise today. The big news just breaking. Washington Redskins, they released an official statement saying they're going to retire the nickname, and then there's the logo of the Redskin on the statement.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Seriously, if you're going to retire it, then retire it. I think that was an oversight. But anywho, it's a pretty big one. They are announcing today that they are retiring the Redskins' name and logo upon completion of their review. Dan Snyder and Coach Ron Rivera are working closely to develop a new name and design approach that will enhance the standing of their proud, tradition-rich franchise and inspire their sponsors, fans, and community for the next 100 years. The Redskins will not release a new name today because of pending trademark issues are preventing that from occurring in a timely fashion. Washington is planning to scrap all Native American imagery, but would like to retain its original colors of burgundy and gold. So we shall see how this all works out. But what the new name will be, we will find out. I can guarantee you people will be upset no matter what the name is that they pick. And there'll be people that will be like, oh, that's okay. I can get used to it. It is going to be weird. I remember when I was very, very young. I think one of the first NFL games I watched on television was Redskins versus Cowboys. And they didn't like each other. And it was a good rivalry. They were both really good at the time. And now all of a sudden it's going to be Washington. I mean, we'll get used to it. It'll be different, but this is one that's been there for a very long time.
Yeah.
It's not like the Charlotte Bobcats, Charlotte Hornets, whatever they're called, bouncing back and forth. This is a little different.
Yeah, it does. It's ingrained into your mind if you're people our age or even older than us that grew up with that and you see it. But again, things change. The Bullets were around for a long time in Baltimore and Washington.
True.
They got changed to the Wizards. Washington's had to do this before. So
Seattle Supersonics went to Oklahoma City, became the Thunder. And young people don't even know they used to be the Supersonics. Seattle, the Ravens used to be the Browns.
Yeah.
So forth and so on. So it has happened. But I know this is a tough question. And this is the great thing about me prepping the show and I can throw it on you. I've had a couple of people say, aren't we like, overreacting to all this politically correctness and so forth and so on, and what do you think?
Absolutely not.
Okay, all right.
The Redskins can make their decision. Washington can make their decision.
Right.
If they've now decided this is the time for them to change their name.
Right. But what the point is of the people that are telling me that,
and I get where you're coming from, and I understand
what
they're saying.
The pressure all of a sudden, like the Redskins' name has been offensive for decades. Why now?
Yeah, and honestly, back when they came out with the name. Mm-hmm. I think they actually, there were people, the Native Americans, that actually, when it was named the Redskins, were okay with it. They took it as a sign of respect. But because that was within the tribe around there, that's what they kind of called themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But as you go further and further, I think more people understand what that means and more Native American tribes are offended by it and don't like it, and they want change. And ways to change that would be to start with those kind of things, with these kind of images and team names that we see in major sports that are really, really popular.
Mm-hmm.
And so where do you start? Like, that's a perfect way to start, I feel like, if you're really on a cause and trying to advance your cause.
Mm-hmm.
Start with something that's really ubiquitous. It's all over the place. And those are NFL teams. That's the Cleveland Indians. That's might be the Kansas City Chiefs. Someday.
But see, here's the problem. Here's the problem I have with it. I don't have a problem with the Redskins or the Washington doing what they're doing, and I don't have a problem happening now than earlier. Although I do sit here and wonder.
I mean, you always question the timing.
Well, the timing. It's because of everything all together.
No matter
perfect
when
storm
we'll
is what it is.
Yeah.
But where does it end? I mean, what does everybody consider offensive and not offensive? Like one thing for you is offensive may not be offensive to me. One thing that might be offensive to me may not be offensive to you. Like the word retard, okay, I don't like that word at all. It's very offensive to me. I have a son with Down syndrome. I get very upset when I hear that word, and I bite my tongue around people that I know that use it. Okay, but for somebody that doesn't have a kid with a Down syndrome or special needs, perhaps, they don't think anything of it, and they just spill it left and right. They don't even understand they're being offensive to people around them. Does that mean that I don't hang out with those people anymore? Well, I don't know. Every once in a while, I'll probably pull back a little bit. But I don't, you know, hate them for it or anything like that. But that's just a great example. I mean, people use that word in their everyday language. And so are we going to ban that word from the English language? Can we ban that word from the English language? I mean, we talk about the N-word. That's a horrible word. You know, that should be banned. But what are you going to do? Find somebody for doing it and saying it? You know, got the whole thing with the mask stuff now. You know, should you wear a mask? Is it be mandated? Are you going to be a fine? Can you enforce it? This and that. Some people find it offensive to have to be told you have to wear a mask. Other people like, hey, that's cool. No big deal. And we're in the situation where, you know, I guess the one thing I'll say, and it doesn't really apply necessarily to the Redskin situation in Washington, okay? Because I get the Native American part. I do. But here's my question. Where does it end? Where, like, if the Indians don't change their name, are we suddenly gone backwards in what we're trying to accomplish? If the Indians do change the name, but the Braves don't, which, by the way, the Braves announced yesterday, they're not going to change their name. Now, there's all kinds of Native American stuff tied to the Braves, okay? They're talking about eliminating the tomahawk chop. Yeah. Was that going to be enough? Okay, if that's the case, okay, so you eliminate Tomahawk Chop in Atlanta. Now the Chiefs have a game, let's say Thursday night football. They actually start on time this year in regards to COVID-19. And the Chiefs hosting the Texans, they get the Super Bowl rings, fans or not fans there, so forth and so on. But the first time the Chiefs have a game in the future where they have the Tomahawk Chop, wait a minute, the Braves banned that. Why aren't the Chiefs banning it? Now, the Chiefs are a horrible organization because they didn't ban the Tomahawk Chop, but the Braves did. And now we find that offensive that you did not ban the chop, but the Braves did. And you can sit here and say, well, that's up to each organization. That's true. But if it's offensive to somebody tied to the Atlanta Braves, why is it not offensive? Because they see the same thing in Kansas City with the Chiefs tomahawk chop. And that's my question. Where does it end? Where do you draw the line? I mean, there's probably other names that are out there that aren't maybe as well known that are offensive to people as well. So I guess the question, it really comes down to whether or not you have enough support and enough backing and enough power to put pressure on organizations, businesses to change their practices, which has happened from day one in this country. That if you've got the support and you've got the power and power, whether it be money, whether it be influential people that are on a platform, that have a platform to use, that you can make change. I'm not saying change isn't good. I've always said there's three inevitables in life, and that is death, change, and taxes. None of that's going away, okay? I know we can wish taxes are going to go away. Not going to happen, okay? We got too many people love a whole bunch of money and like to blow our money on frivolous stuff. That's just the way it is. It stinks. And until this country unites and gets all riled up and says no more taxes, we'll keep having taxes. So taxes is a constant. Change is a constant. And death is a constant. Nobody lives forever. We can agree on those three things. Yeah. So the question is, where does the change end, or not necessarily end, but where does it continue? Where is the line drawn as to, okay, the Indians now, okay, the Redskins are retiring their name. Okay, great, fine. If whatever way you feel about that, fine. Now, if you're a Cleveland Indian fan, you're sitting there going, are we next? And then when the Indians change their name, if they do, the next one is going to be, well, what about the Chiefs? Or what about whatever other mascots or team names that are out there? I don't know. There's going to be a lot of others.
Sure.
How about the Blackhawks? The Chicago Blackhawks?
Yeah.
I mean, there's one I just thought of. There's a lot more out there than you think. And it goes down even into the minor leagues. And lots of different sports teams at different lower levels. And that's my question. Where do you draw the line? It is not a black and white line. It is a very gray line, like always.
Yeah. And it's a line that I still feel like in the end, we're talking about sports teams here. So in the end, those franchises have to make those decisions and live with those decisions. You know, it's still offensive. We can say, well, if the Braves are going to drop the chop and the Chiefs don't, why is it not offensive with the Chiefs? It's still offensive if the Chiefs do it. They they've just decided not to drop it, okay? That's just an example.
But my point is the Chiefs will be vilified because they chose to not do it because the Braves chose to do it. But what if the Braves didn't choose to do it? Then the Chiefs aren't on an island.
Yeah. And
so thus the Braves making a decision puts pressure on the Chiefs.
Sure.
And see how this trickles down?
I get what you're saying, for sure. And I, you know, in the end of it all, we still all have to live with the repercussions of the decisions we make.
Right.
And so if the Chiefs decide to keep the chop and the Braves don't, then they'll have to deal with those repercussions that are going to come at them. They know those things are going to happen.
Sure.
Okay, the times we're living in right now, the Chiefs know that.
Mm-hmm.
If they decide to keep it, you know, I've there's probably going to be some long discussions about what you're going to do in Kansas City here not long from now, now that the Redskins have actually made their decision to change their name and have something new. You know, Braves and Chiefs, like we talked about on Friday, I think Chiefs could do something different with their imagery, with the way they present things, to keep the name Chiefs. They don't have to change their name. Braves could do the same thing. Well, they could make it a military type thing, you know. Mm-hmm. They can keep the name Braves, right. Land of the free, home of the brave, right? Mm-hmm. You could keep your name Brave and just change what you're doing. Take the chop away, change your imagery, take the tomahawk off of your Braves jersey, you know, just all kinds of things you could actually do, mm-hmm, to where it's not as drastic as what Washington has to do with their football team, you know, right, to change the actual name, because it's not – it's more imagery than what the name is. Indians is up for debate. You know, I think that they'll probably end up changing their name fairly soon, too.
Well, here's the other thing. You've done this for how long, and then you're going to tell all the fans you can't do the tomahawk chop? How are you going to enforce that? I mean, you're not going to enforce it. 25,000 of the 80,000 Arrowhead fans did the tomahawk chop. It's still going to happen. So now those 25,000 people are insensitive. Maybe, maybe not. Because it's just something that they've done since they were little when they're Chiefs fans or Arrowhead, and they don't want that being taken away. And they're going to be like, you know what? It's a free country. We're going to still do the chop. We know the Chiefs don't want us to, but we're going to still do it. Or the Braves are still going to do the chop. Or we're going to bang the drum or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, as an organization, you in a franchise, you make the decision to not pump it through your speakers.
Right,
but you can't tell the fans what they're going to
do.
Exactly. They're going to, that's not going to go away 100% when we say we're not going to pump this song through our speakers anymore.
It's the same thing as what we're seeing with our governments is, okay, if you're going to mandate a mask, that's great. You can mandate all you want, but I'm still not going to wear one.
Yeah.
That type of thing. It's still, in essence, still your decision. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where this all leads. I think the Chiefs have a good chance to keep their name, but they're going to have to get rid of, I think, the bang the drum and say publicly they're against the chop, like you said, and I think the Braves are on their way to doing that, too. And there'll be some war paint will be retired, would imagine.
Stadium might get changed name. You know, it might not just be naming of the field rights now. It might be stadium rights that get renamed, mm-hmm, so they don't have to worry about trying to come up with a new name for it. They can just hide behind that part of it. Good. Maybe GEHA, who they talked about might get field rights, they might end up buying just stadium rights, so we don't have to worry about trying to rename it.
Yeah.
Change the Arrowhead could be a Fire Chief shield with the KC in it. You know, I don't know how far it goes.
Right.
But those are things, those are discussions I guarantee that are going to happen.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of the Chiefs, I'll jump around here on my list because we're talking Chiefs on the field or still off the field. Chris Jones and the Chiefs are apparently talking again. This is no surprise. I mean, I love when these stories come out. The national media doesn't follow very closely. This is, I said it on the show, as soon as Mahomes' contract is done, and I said it'll get done before July 15th, because they need time to work out a Chris Jones thing. Once they know the numbers that Mahomes agreed to, they know exactly the numbers. So then they can work with Chris Jones on an extension that the Chiefs feel is fair and that works and fits the cap for what they're trying to do. And they have had eight days, because it was the 7th or the 6th or the 7th when Mahomes agreed to the deal. So they had basically a little over a week. Now we're sitting here, reports coming over the weekend that the Chiefs and Chris Jones have started talking negotiations on a long-term deal. Well, why wouldn't they? They can talk all they want, but of course they will, unless the Chiefs have no interest, which would look really bad to Chris Jones if the Chiefs said, listen, we're not going to negotiate with you at all. Yeah. Chris Jones is going to be ticked off. So you do this. Whether the Chiefs truly want to have a long-term deal with Chris Jones or not, this is posturing. You do that. Now, they very well truly might want a long-term deal for Chris Jones. And over the first couple of years of a new deal, the Chiefs could maybe make this work because Mahomes' numbers are pushed back. He's going to still be on his rookie deal the next couple of years, although more of it will kick in next year, after the season next year. And I still think the Chiefs giving him a gigantic deal could be a big mistake. But it makes sense. I mean, you've got till July 15th to figure this out. So you work it out, and maybe the Chiefs say, "Hey, Chris, we'll give you 3 years, 60. We'll give you 4 for 80. We'll give you 5 for 90. But we'll give you 35 guaranteed." Who knows what they're going to do with the numbers? But Chris Jones seems to be a little bit more, shall I say, positive on social media, and so forth and so on. Almost feels like, I almost read between the lines that Chris Jones thinks something's going to get done, which is okay. I still am a little bit worried about having so many guys under big contracts. I'm not worried about Mahomes at all in regards to that big contract. That's what you do with franchise quarterbacks. I don't see lots of teams winning Super Bowls paying their defensive tackles over $20 million a year. Have you seen anybody win one yet? The Rams made it to one,
yeah,
obviously, and then scored a whopping 3 points in the Super Bowl. So, against the Patriots. I just don't know if it's wise to give a D-tackle over $20 million, who isn't that great against the run, but is very good in pass rushing and can change the game, no question. Don't get me wrong. I think Chris Jones deserves the money based on the value of what other guys are getting, like DeForest Buckner. I just don't know if it's the right thing for the Chiefs.
Yeah, you asked the question if you've ever seen a defensive tackle that's getting $20 million and team won a Super Bowl. It's only happened twice.
Yeah.
There's only two guys that are making it right
that's
now,
right.
And they're the biggest contracts anybody at that position has had.
Yeah.
So Aaron Donald's your only possibility right now because Buckner just got his contract. So.
Yeah, yeah, he went from Niners to the Colts.
But, yeah, being that high paid, no matter what, whether it's over $20 million or whether it's, you know, $16, $17 million for defensive tackle, you're not.
It's a lot of money for a D-tackle,
yeah,
man.
And you're talking about two guys on your front line that are making, what's Frank Clark, 17 or 18?
I don't know what it is this year against the cap. 6 years, $101 million wasn't the total deal, but I can see what Frank's is against
the
cap.
So I'm talking about two guys that are going to be making 35 to 40 million combined on your front line.
Let me see here's the breakdown for Frank Clark this year. Frank Clark be 2021, right? Here we go. Base salary 18.5 million, signing bonus 5.2, cap hit is $25.8 million. Now you put Chris Jones in there, and by the way, Frank Clark's cap hit next year will be 26.3, and his last year under his deal when he's 30 is 27.8. That adds to my whole argument.
Yeah.
Don't go nuts for Chris Jones.
Yeah, so you're talking $45 million and two guys this year.
Right. Now, the thing is, the Chiefs could cut bait with Frank Clark, but they're still going to have dead cap money of $37.9 million after next year.
Yeah.
Actually, they can't do it next year.
Yeah.
When they could do it would be after the 21 season. So 2022, there would be a 12.9 hit. So... it's 12.9 dead cap, 26.3 cap hit. And I'm not getting
$14 million saved even if you cut him.
It's still $14 million saved. I don't pretend to understand all the numbers and how they can maneuver and navigate the cap and all the dead money and move this or that or whatever, because it's complicated to me. But I will say that's a lot of money for Frank Clark, got a lot of money Mahomes. Matthew is only a 3-year deal, but there's still quite a bit of money for him the next year or two. And then you got Charvius Ward that's going to want a big deal, which I don't know. I think a shutdown corner is more important than a D-tackle. I might be wrong on that one, but it's a passing league. Although you could argue, well, you know, getting a pass rush up the middle is pretty important. Yep, you're right. But you can't give everybody $20 million.
Yeah.
You just can't do it. And the cap, by the way, is going to stay pretty much flat with COVID-19 or go down. And that's going to make it even harder if the Chiefs do this with Chris Jones. So we'll continue to follow it. Tomorrow, Mark Johnson, voice of Colorado Buffaloes, will join us because we're going to talk college football. And we're probably going to talk with Mark a lot more about what's the situation that's facing college football right now. Let's give you an update on where things stand. As I totally forgot to flip the switch to put simulcast on Z, but whoops. Pac-12 is canceling their non-con. The Pac-12 CEO group announced that today that the fall season for several, that was the other day, for several Pac-12 sports, including football, men's and women's soccer, and women's volleyball, would schedule conference-only games, and that it is delaying the start of mandatory athletic activities until a series of health and safety indicators, which have recently trended in a negative direction, provided sufficient positive data to enable a move to a second phase of return-to-play activities. The CEO group made it clear that it hopes to play football and all other fall sports, provided that it can meet the health and safety needs of its student-athletes and obtain appropriate permissions from state and local health authorities. The decision will result in the start dates for the impacted sports being delayed. In the Pac-12, the decision is effective immediately across all Pac-12 member universities and was made following a meeting of the Pac-12 CEO group the other day. Of course, Colorado is part of the Pac-12, and the voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, will be with us tomorrow to talk about this. Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12, the health and safety of our student-athletes and all those connected to the Pac-12 sports continues to be our number one priority. Our decisions have and will be guided by science and data, and based upon the trends and indicators over the past days, it has become clear that we need to provide ourselves with maximum flexibility to schedule and to delay any movement to the next phase of return-to-play activities. In a related note, we know the Big Ten is the first one to make that decision to go no non-con games and cancel those. The Pac-12 was second. The SEC athletic directors are meeting today to discuss fall sports scheduling. So the SEC makes a decision today. That would be three of the five, and then I would imagine the Big 12 and the ACC will fall in line.
Yeah.
Because some of them will play each other in non-cons, and that affects you, too.
I just feel like once you get all that going and once you've got even two, I think the next three are just going to be like, well, we're taking away games from our teams. We might as well just take them away.
I agree with you. Somebody said they finally got to make everybody on a level playing field 9 conference games because, you know, there's some conferences like the SEC that don't do that. This is interesting development as well. Of course, we know the Ivy League is not going to do anything until after January 1. It looks like now the National Junior College Athletic Association will not have fall sports. They're meeting today to put together an official plan, but the Presidential Advisory Council recommends a majority of competition, including football, be moved from the fall to the spring. That's junior college football. So that would affect, obviously, you know, you got your Garden Cities, your Fort Scott, your Hutches, or whatever, Butler. Mm-hmm. All of them would play football in the spring instead of the fall. And I think that's where this could end up leading all the way across the board myself. I think we could see that in high schools, too, across the country. So we'll continue to follow that. So there's some big things going on today. The SEC Athletic Director's meeting today. We could have some big things to talk about tomorrow in regards to what they decide, if they decide anything. And then the National Junior College Athletic Association, it seems to be a foregone conclusion that that's what they're going to do. And on a related note, men and women's basketball in junior college would begin on January 11th. Its season would start on January 29th. A maximum 29-game season would end in late March, championships beginning on April 19th. Volleyball, wrestling, track, and swimming would all resume practice January 4th. On Thursday, the California Community College Athletic Association announced it will move all 24 of its sports, including football, to the spring. All their sports to the spring. Boy, I would not want to be SID and athletic director in that situation.
No.
Many sports will begin practicing in mid-January with competition beginning in February. The remaining sports will start practicing in late March with events starting on April the 10th. The Junior College Athletic Association Board of Regents will vote on the proposal during emergency board meeting, which will be at 2:30 Central Time this afternoon. So we'll have a decision, and it sounds like they'll probably go for it, but you don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Here's another thing that we haven't – this is something we have not talked about. We have talked about – on this show, we've talked about professional athletes that have opted out. We've talked about that. You know, Major League Baseball players have opted out of their shortened season. We've seen David Price, probably the biggest name there. We've seen some players have COVID or some that don't are scared of COVID or fear getting COVID that are not doing the NBA bubble thing. But, you know, one thing we have, and we've talked about how college football players don't have as much of the freedom because they don't have these contracts, this and that. But there is something that we need to go one step further, and I saw it today on social media, and I'm like, darn, why wasn't I thinking about that? The best athletes in the country in college football, the draft combine and everything else for the NFL, they're not changing anything. It's going to be in April. The draft and the combines, everything prior in the spring of next year. If you're a college football athlete, and you know if you don't play this year, you're still going to get drafted or you can prove yourself at the combine so where you can still make a lot of money. Do you risk playing college football this year? I had not thought about that because a lot of college athletes don't have that leverage per se.
Yeah.
But there are, of course, the best of the best, the top 2% in the country, whatever it may be, studs at Ohio State or Michigan or Alabama or Oklahoma or wherever. They may say, you know what? I want to play, but I'm taking a risk here. Maybe I'm just better off opting out and not playing football this year, and I'll get ready for the combine. That is an option.
Yeah, and I think...
which would water down college football if you have a season.
Yeah, if teams, if players...
That's another problem with why you can't move college football to the spring for the big... The NFL is going to have to adjust if that's going to... I mean, how can you have college football in the spring? And then also, I mean, you have to adjust the schedule, wouldn't you, with combines and everything else? And
yeah, you would
the
think.
Spring's not till March.
Yeah.
I know when spring starts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, March 20, 21st, 22nd. So if it's not going to start till, say, March, you're not going to the drafts in – when's the NFL drafts in
– it's like April 20th to 30th and whenever it's in
– there's no way you're going to have all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, there'd be college football going on. So there's another reason why college football – junior college, they can do that, I guess. But the Power Five conferences aren't going to probably want to do that, clearly. But if they do, before they agree to do that, or I guess they agree to do that, doesn't that mean that all the pressure's on the NFL to push their stuff back? And is the NFL really going to do that? Is the NFL going to say, you know what, we're sitting tight, and the Power Five conferences, let's see the SEC and all these other conferences eventually say, you know what, we can't play this year. We're going to have to kick it to the spring like junior college is. or like the Ivy League is. They kick it to the spring. Now you're going to have a lot of athletes that are going to say, I'm out.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get ready for the pros, because that's where they're going to make their money, unless they're getting paid by, you know, Alabama and whoever else to play college ball. And yeah. I mean, under the table, of course.
Yeah, that's more of a what happens if they do that. Like, what happens to the motivation of the kids
right.
if they're playing and they still have the draft at the same time and then the season finishes after the draft?
Yeah, because well, I don't think you can have the draft. I don't think you can do that. I just don't think you can. I mean,
I wouldn't think
what players are gonna keep playing football when the draft is up there? I mean, it's not gonna happen. So the NFL is gonna have to move things back, or college football is gonna have to say, if we don't play in the fall, we don't play at all.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I mean, you can't move it all the way to the spring. I mean, you could, and I don't think you're gonna want to fight basketball if basketball starts, and even if it's a kind of an revised.
Oh, I don't think that's nearly as big a deal.
I don't think it's a big deal for the university.
It's bigger than basketball anyway. So
but I don't know if you want to be playing football during the NCAA tournament. But you probably would be doing that anyway.
You could schedule it and work it out. That's not nearly as big a deal, I don't think. You can work that all out because you're all tied in the NCAA and the entities together go and work together. The NFL is an outside entity. So if the NFL sits here and goes, listen, you can move your college football all you want, but we're going to stay on our schedule because we want our season to start. I mean, think about it. The NFL would have to move the draft back to when? June?
Yeah, at least late May.
Right.
If you're not going to play non-con games, you're going to play 9 weeks of football, and then you're going to have... I would guess they'll scrap conference championships in a situation like this. Maybe they wouldn't. I don't know. Maybe
money.
But if they do it, that's 10 weeks, and then, bowl games aren't going to be the same. You're not going to play all those, I wouldn't think, but...
I don't think so either.
I mean, you're talking about at least 13 weeks probably if you start in March. So, yeah, it'd be
you eliminate bowl games. If you go 9 conference games and then you just got the football playoff, you got 4-2. You got 2 weeks, 11 weeks for 4 teams.
Yeah.
Or 10 weeks for 4 teams and 11 weeks for 2 teams. 11 weeks, where does that put you? If you start mid-March, which would mean... Mid-March, which that's spring break and stuff, but or into March even. But let's say mid-March. You get 2 weeks in March, 4 in April, 4 in May. I mean, you'd be done if you're lucky at the end of May, like you said.
Yeah.
So you're going to have the draft the week after college football season ends? I just don't see how that works.
Yeah.
And I think that's where college football and the Power Fives are up against it a little bit.
Well, yeah, and that's going to be a last resort for them.
Oh, absolutely.
To play in the spring.
That's, absolutely.
That's for everybody. It's sure. Absolutely. What right. they feel like is this is our last option. I'm sure the NJCAA said, we're looking here, and it's like maybe we're ahead of the curve here, but we feel like this is our option. This right. is when we can do it. Of course, they have a lot more leeway than the other Division I college football does.
And those junior college players aren't going straight to the pros. Yeah. They're going to go to another university, hopefully.
Actually, that might be a better if they can play. Power 5 and D1 FBS can play in the fall. Mm-hmm. It's better exposure for them to play in the
Absolutely.
In the spring because coaches can come watch
well,
them.
That's right.
And you have a better off, so that'd be better for them if they can play in the spring and then get these guys to play in the fall.
Well, and the other thing you may say, well, the Ivy League did it. Why can't the Power 5? So, first of all, I don't think there's a lot of NFL players coming from the Ivy League. And if there are a few studs from the Ivy League, guess what? They'll have the same option. They'll say, I'm not going to play spring football because – I'm getting ready for the combine and the draft. It's going to be in April.
Yeah.
That is a big issue for the Power 5 conferences because if they find out they can't play this fall and then they reschedule to go in the spring, they're going to have to either, one, talk to NFL and see if the NFL somehow is going to work with them on it, or they're going to just have to try to force NFL's hand. And if NFL doesn't have their hand forced, then you're going to have some watered-down college football in the spring because your top athletes, trust me on this, your top athletes are taking – why would you – think about it for a second. There are some athletes that want to opt out of bowl games in January.
Exactly. I was going to
say that. Why would college athletes, the best college football athletes in the country, why would they be willing to play college football in March and April if the draft's going to be in April, even if they back it up to end of May? Why would athletes take a chance? If they know they can do great at the combine, they've stayed in shape, they know they're not going to lose too much in their stock, why would they risk being hurt playing college football right there at that time?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
No, and you're not. This isn't a situation where you're behind the eight ball here if you don't play, because everybody's in the same situation.
Exactly.
Everybody's going to start at the same time.
Right.
So there's not going to be enough. If you're going to be that close to the end of the season to the draft, then Trevor Lawrence, I'll use him as an example. Mm-hmm. Like, he wants to come out. He wants to play pro football. He's not going to come back to Clemson for his senior year. If he says, "Hey, I'm leaving," what's the reason for him to play?
Like, exactly.
His now, I think Trevor Lawrence can increase his stock a little bit. He didn't have a great year last year from a numbers standpoint and things like that. But I think Trevor Lawrence is going to get drafted pretty high no matter what he does.
Oh, he'll be a top five pick.
Yeah. Right. So that's just an example.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know.
Interesting dynamic
just add
to
it
consider
to the list
there.
Of things that are.
It's a domino effect. It's a domino effect, is what it is. To be continued.
I don't think the college football is going to be able to force the NFL's hand.
I don't
think
so either.
Do stuff.
That's why
NFL's the biggest business in this country as far as sports are concerned.
I know. And
they're not going to be, college football's not going to be able to say, you got to move this.
And that's,
be, okay.
That's why I think college football is going to do everything in their power to play some kind of season in the fall because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And money, of course. NASCAR, pretty exciting race over the weekend.
A rookie is going to win Kentucky. Can you believe it?
I never would have believed it till now, Mike.
Wow. Off the final turn, rookie Cole Custer wins Kentucky. Can you believe it?
Incredible.
22-year-old Cole Custer, mad dash on the last lap, the only lap he led during the whole race, but that's the most important one. He became the first rookie winner in nearly 4 years, and now with the victory, he'll have a spot in the All-Star race on Wednesday at the age of 22. That's a pretty cool story.
Yeah.
Cole Custer.
He said, we didn't even come here to win, but
we'll take it.
Now I don't even have to qualify for the All-Star race. I'm in.
I guess I'm in. We'll take it. Golf was pretty exciting as well over the weekend.
22 straight made cuts. Missed his first cut 2 weeks ago, took a week off, and straight back in the winner's circle. Colin Morikawa, second win on the PGA Tour.
Colin Morikawa took down Justin Thomas in a three-hole playoff on Sunday, and, man, that was a crazy – I mean, that was great, great golf. Like golf, you like to sometimes guys just fall apart, and then some guy wins because he just wasn't as bad. But what happened with these two guys were just phenomenal. Justin Thomas hit, what was a 50-foot putt for a birdie on the first playoff hole? So you're thinking he's probably going to win, and Morikawa has a 23-foot putt, has to make it to birdie to force a second-hole playoff, and he made it. He made it. And Justin Thomas had a three-stroke lead with three holes to play. That's usually automatic over.
Yeah.
Instead, Morikawa finished one under and on the final three holes, and Justin Thomas had a couple of bogeys. They went all the way to a third playoff hole, and finally on the 75th hole, Morikawa got the par. And Thomas got in trouble and got a bogey, and that was that. And Morikawa wins. Pretty exciting stuff. I saw somebody put on Twitter, what's the deal? There's not as much sports out there, and yet the PGA Tour doesn't seem to get as much run. And they've had some unbelievable, crazy finishes since they've got back on the golf course. And I would agree with him. But you know what the problem is, don't you? It's not Tiger Woods. It's not Phil Mickelson.
Exactly.
It's not Justin
Brooks
Spieth.
Kepka,
it's not Brooks Koepka.
Jordan Spieth.
Not Jordan Spieth. It's not Rory McIlroy. That's the problem.
Yeah.
These guys are great golfers. These are two American golfers that are very good.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't know who they are.
No.
And that's part of the problem. It's called star power.
Without a doubt,
It's star power.
Tiger's not even in the tournament.
Tiger's
not
even playing.
It's like, why am I watching this?
Exactly. Tiger can
No matter who's playing, if it's not Tiger,
maybe Phil.
If Phil gets toward the top during the tournament, people aren't going to just start watching because Phil's in it.
No.
If Phil's in it on Saturday, they're probably going to start watching it.
Absolutely. Well, I know I'm guilty of that.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. It's about star power.
Yeah,
that's why.
No doubt.
UFC had their Fight Island, and late replacement, is it George or Jorge?
I'd say Jorge.
I'd say Jorge, too.
Yeah.
Jorge Masvidal, he took on the fight on 6 days' notice, but he didn't work out for him. Usman? Kamaru Usman.
I did look that up.
Okay, cool. He won the big feature fight on Saturday night, Fight Island, and there were some other championship fights as well. So if you follow the UFC, you already know that and probably know more about it than I do. I'm not going to sit here and try to BS my way through it. I mean, I didn't
go to UFC.com.
Go to UFC.com. But anyway, that was the big one. It was the one we just referred to when it comes to the UFC. Who said there isn't any sports going on in America today? There's NASCAR, golf, UFC. Nebraska had their Shrine Bowl game, a high school, a first football game held since the pandemic hit this country. And now the Shrine Bowl in Kansas is going to take place this weekend.
Yeah.
As of now, everything's a go.
Yeah, sounds like everybody's going and showing up for camp and getting going.
Creighton Johnson of Beloit is our area participant
and Joel Montgomery from Smith Center.
So best of luck to both those young men at the Shrine Bowl there in Topeka coming up this weekend. Anything else you want to add? We covered quite a bit there.
Yeah, I think we got it.
You know, I just wish I had all the answers to these things, and I would go to Vegas and bet on it. In regards to all this, but I'm sure there's odds on it somewhere, somehow.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. Mark Johnson, the voice of Colorado Buffaloes, will be our guest tomorrow. He's going to be coming into the area for a golf tournament John Bowden is helping put on there, I believe, at Smith Center Golf Course. I'll have to pull that up again and find that here because I need to put that on the community calendar. But there's a two-day, two-man golf tournament this Saturday and Sunday at the Smith Center Golf Course. If you're interested in playing, you can call John 282-0281, 282-0281, and you may even get a chance to meet the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. He seems like a really cool dude. We've had him on the show before, very down to earth, a funny guy. And I told him that I texted Mark last night, and I said, hey, man, would you be willing to come on, talk about the college football landscape and also about this this golf tournament you're coming down to that you're going to dominate? And let's see what Mark's response was. Pretty good here. I can find it for you. He goes, dominating the golf tournament, we'd have to be having a fictional conversation then. I said, fact or fiction, as long as it's entertaining, that works for me. So Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffs, will be with us tomorrow at 9:30 to talk about college football, and it's perfect timing to have him on because of the Pac-12 making that announcement. And who knows what's going to happen with the SEC and junior college athletics today. And then get Mark's take on it. And I do know, we've talked about this, and Mark's certainly well aware of it, more so probably than even we are, and that is the financial implications on universities as a whole. Forget the athletic departments. As a whole, universities could be in major trouble if there's no football this season. And we'll talk with Mark about that coming up tomorrow, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.